to the Weiner Milk Podcast, where each week we rewatch and review nostalgic movies and media from our childhood to see if they aged like wine or like milk. But this week, we're coming at you with a slightly new format for the Christmas season. We are going to be watching three classic TV movie cartoon Christmassy movies and rapid fire through them. We're going to set a timer. We're going to solidly restrict ourselves in our talking time and give you our snapshot judgments of these three classics from our childhood. I'm really excited.
Rapid fire.
Pew, rapid pew. Fire.
Pew, pew.
Rapid fire, speed date, all those
I like things. To think of it as speed dating Christmas, because there's too many good Christmas cartoons and like little TV specials, essentially. Just pick just like one, you know?
It would have been such a miss to skip any of them.
I have too many favorites. That's my problem. I have too many favorites.
Yep. And so, like I said, I'm really pumped for this. We've never done it before. It's brand new, but I think it's going to be really fun. And so the three that we're watching, we're going to start with How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which I haven't seen in a really long time. So I'm pretty excited to watch this one. Then we're going to be watching the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
One of my favorites.
Definitely seen it more recently, but again, really pumped to see it again because it's so nostalgic. And then we're going to wrap it up with one that, Jess, I don't think you've seen, you were saying.
No, I've seen it. It was a really long time ago. I just don't really remember it much.
Gotcha.
It wasn't a staple in my household.
This was a staple in our household. It is called The Snowman. It's one of the later ones. It's from the 80s, I think. And like, I had the stuffed animal. I had the book. I had the movie. I love it. And this one's interesting. I don't think there's words. There's no words in the whole
thing. I had the book, and my grandma had a little music box that you like turn it and it plays the theme from the movie. But I remember nothing about it.
I just remember it being beautiful, and I really liked it as a kid. So I'm really, really excited to watch that one, because that one I'm probably going in the most blind.
Cool, cool. Well, this speed date, how it's going to work is we'll set a timer. We'll have 15 minutes. Give the briefest of brief rundown. Likes, dislikes, and then wine or milk. Is it worth it your holiday season?
Yeah.
It's hard because it's like you got to show your best, most shiny parts. You try to get those digits.
Yeah.
Before the bell rings or the gong or whatever the hell it is, you know?
The gong, yeah. Maybe I'll edit a Christmas gong into this.
Oh my God, can you imagine? Dong.
I don't know what that would be, hitting a gong with sleigh bells.
It's like Married at First Sight, but Christmas movies.
Exactly. Without any buyer's remorse. We are going to go watch our movies, and we'll get back to you with our thoughts.
I feel like we need the Mario Kart that like, dude. Dude. And then you just like take off.
Yeah.
You know?
That'd be good.
I probably would stall out.
And we'd have to start talking right before one to get the best speed boost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what I'm saying. I would stall out.
Yeah.
I would flub my words. Just like I'd flub my little Yoshi.
So we just watched The Grinch and I have
I have the
timer right here. We are gonna, like I said, we are going to hold ourselves really, really to this. We're going to stop talking exactly at 15 minutes. So here we go.
Do we need to do like a countdown?
Yeah, we should. I'll hover my finger over play or start or whatever. So you count us down and I'll hit right when you say go.
On three or after three? Oh, go.
Go.
Okay.
Three, two, one, go.
Is it on go or after go?
On go.
Okay. Three, two, one, go.
All right, The Grinch. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, 1966.
Yep, came out in 1966. Screenplay by Dr. Seuss, directed by Chuck Jones, and it was distributed by MGM TV.
Yeah.
Here's what happens. Whoville, they have a little town at the bottom of a mountain.
Yep.
They go apeshit for Christmas. They fucking love Christmas. So hype. Decorate, go all out. The Grinch lives on the mountain by himself with his dog, Max.
Yep.
He's a Grinch.
Yep.
It's like one of those things. He's just the definition of the word. You know what it is.
He's a Kleenex.
Exactly. He's a Kleenex. So he hates Christmas. He looks down at them. He thinks that their noise making and music playing is annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Decides he's going to steal their Christmas.
Yep.
Dresses up like Santa. Makes his dog an antler. Makes him a reindeer. Goes down, steals all their presents, all their decorations, all of their food. Literally everything.
Everything.
And brings it back up the mountain. He's like, haha, I did it.
Yep.
Who's come outside? They sing. They're still happy. It's Christmas. His heart grows 3 sizes bigger.
Yeah.
Brings all this shit back down the mountain. Distributes it. Carves a roast beast.
Roast beast.
He's included and he's happy and Max gets food too. The end.
Wonderful. Most important question. Roast beast isn't a thing, right? It's roast beef.
Oh, you vegetarian soul.
Right?
Look at you.
No, like...
getting confused over your meats now.
My whole life, I've really, like, tripped over roast beef versus roast beast.
What do you think a beast is? What is a beast?
I don't know.
Like a wildebeest? A roast wildebeest?
What's a kielbasa? That's not a thing.
It's a sausage.
Yeah, but there's no such thing as a kielbasa. Anyway.
Roast beast is made up. It's a Dr. Seuss word.
I thought so, but I always...
Word in this whole movie was made up.
Which is part of the lovely part of it. There's so much nonsense words. It's so fun.
Yeah, I know. I would do great on that podcast because I never speak real words. Like, I am Dr. Seuss. It's fine, guys.
We could just say anything right now and you guys would be like, oh yeah, I remember that part.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tell me your likes. Give me a couple likes.
Biggest like, most important like. The story, the message of the story is really wonderful. Maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas means a little bit more. That's lovely.
Look at that. That's really lovely. Couplet rhyme.
Yeah. I really like that. And then I love all the nonsense words. The animation was super, super solid. And the songs were so fun. The songs were so fun. The lyrics in the songs. And it felt Dr. Seuss. You know, sometimes you have these things from your childhood and they get made into some sort of media and it kind of sucks because...
They change something fundamental about it.
They lose the spirit of it.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of Dr. Seuss is here, and it's so good.
Agreed. Agreed. I think that the thing I like the most is it's so whimsical.
Oh, man,
like, the Whos defy all laws of physics.
Yeah.
They're super cute.
They're so cute.
All their music instruments, like the montage of them playing all the music machines. They're basically music machines. They're not even instruments.
The one they were riding and playing on at the same time.
There's like all these horns coming out everywhere and drums and stuff. It was so fun. I love that piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
Max was freaking adorable.
So cute. Oh,
Max the dog. He was the hero of the movie.
Yep.
He did a good job being a dog where, like, your owner's having a bad day. They try to cheer you up, but they're still a dog at heart.
Yeah, he was so
cute. You know, they just want to be part of the fun.
Him pulling the Grinch's butt when they're trying to lift this, like, rescue the sleigh is so cute.
So cute. I agree with the messaging.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
I really self-identify as a Grinch. Although this podcast, I'm trying to think about the cheerful things of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas really isn't my jam. But I'm realizing this year with quarantine and Christmas actually being canceled, maybe I really am a Grinch. Because when it comes down to it, it gets canceled, I'm sad about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you're the evolution of the Grinch. You are the full Grinch story, is what you're saying?
Yeah, right now I'm at the end where I'm kind of sad. But yeah, wonderful. I think that the best part of this whole movie, though,
mm-hmm.
hands down, is the... You Are a Mean One, Mr. Grinch song.
Oh, so good. And I forgot they did it. Like, there's 3 separate times that they sing it, which is really fun.
Different iterations. Like, one when he's doing his montage of getting ready as Santa.
Yep.
One when he's stealing the stuff from the one house.
Yep.
And then again later.
Like, when they're
stealing the rest of the neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the lyrics were insane.
They're so good.
The 39 and a half inch foot pole. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. Such precision.
It's, yeah.
And what the singer is allowing and is okay with. They know exactly the distance that they would allow the
40
foot,
probably he would touch him, but 39 and a half foot, nope.
No way.
Yeah, or also talking.
Seasick crocodile.
Seasick crocodile, and like his blood, or his, what is it? His blood is full of garlic and his heart is full of something. I can't remember.
I have garlic blood. I think it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I think I do too. We eat a lot of garlic. But then also, like, like, mentioning stuff about, like, arsenic and stuff. Like, it's so full of...
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The lyrics are ridiculous.
And, yeah, I'm going back to this part. It really just feels like Dr. Seuss because of that. It's like, to borrow a Tanism, it's an elevated Dr. Seuss. They really did a great job of taking a book, a short children's book, and turning it into a 25-minute television movie.
Agreed.
And I love it for that. And, hey, did have... Opening credits. Boom.
I don't remember the opening credits.
It was just little snowflakes flittering down, but it was nice.
You're, when you have 25 minutes to fit a story in, I feel like the opening credits don't matter.
No, but I liked the consistency for this podcast of having them.
One thing I realized, though, is, Kyle, you are not a Who.
Oh, man, no. Yeah. I wrote this down, too. There, I love the message. Maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas means a little more. Because they lose all their presents. They have all their stuff stolen. He thinks that they're going to be crying and not celebrate. But they still go out. They have their Christmas tradition. They sing and they're happy. Baby Kyle Who would have been
bawling your eyes out.
In the corner, crying his eyes out so loudly that it would eclipse everybody singing in the town square.
Oh, 100%. I was like, Kyle is not a Who. He would not be singing the next morning.
No.
Kyle, his dad used to put Kyle in timeout in the corner of the room.
Yeah.
And apparently when he was repainting, there was actually tear streaks
on
the walls, because Kyle would lean his head on the wall and cry and his tears fall down the wall.
That would have been...
You would be in your crying corner.
Yep.
You would not be singing.
Crying corner.
Your crying corner. Any other likes? Any dislikes you want to talk about?
I have two really quick, tiny, tiny dislikes that... And it's more about how it aged than, I think, the original quality of the film.
Okay.
The audio mixing suffered a little bit.
It was 1966.
Yeah. I'm not...
Our podcast audio mixing suffers quite a bit.
It's definitely not a hard dislike, but there were times where, like, the mixing was a little bit off. The music was a little too loud or something.
Mm-hmm.
Super minor. And then, it's hard to hold this against them, but I want to call it out. They definitely reuse some animations. This was an old technique, especially to keep costs down, because you had to draw each frame. So they were reusing some animations, like throwing the sacks through the chimney and stuff. Super minor, though. Doesn't matter at all. But...
Didn't
those were
notice.
Two things that, like, in terms of aging, I thought I would call out, because, like, I think those are specifically around aging. But it's impossible for me to pull anything I didn't like out of this movie. It's wicked fast. It's super well-paced. It's great music. Good message. It's adorable.
Agreed.
Is there anything that you can pull out that you weren't a fan of? Or thought might not have aged well?
Not that it didn't age well, but something I didn't enjoy. Like, I was watching it, and I was like, yeah, these Who's are freaking annoying. Like, I would hate to be around these Who's.
Oh my god, I thought Christmas. The exact opposite.
Oh god, oh no. God. Way too much cheer, way too much singing, so much positivity. It's a great thing, but I feel like it's a shield, you know?
Maybe people can be that happy, Jess. Maybe Who's can be that happy.
It's just a little too much. It's a little too extra for me. It feels a little disingenuous, you know?
One thing that I'm always confused about is, what is the anatomy of a Who? Because Cindy Lou Who looks very different from all the other Who's.
Yep. I was curious.
What is
too.
A Who?
Lots of different shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
And I think the Grinch, my conspiracy theory is the Grinch is actually a Who.
Well, they refer to him as a Grinch as a species.
Yeah. I think he's like the Gollum, though. You know how, like, Gollum's a hobbit, technically? But then he, like, isolated himself and became a creature. Like, the Grinches are the Gollums.
They
of Whoville.
Corrupted by the One Ring and
Gollum
fled into the mountains.
Is to the Shire as Grinch is to Whoville.
Sure.
That's my full on. I can write a dissertation on that, maybe. Give me 10 years.
What are some of your favorite scenes?
Oh, easily the scene where the Who is bringing out the platter.
And that was
the
mine,
table,
too. And the nesting Who's.
Yeah, and they give a little strawberry to Cindy Lou Who.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. And that strawberry then turns into his eye. That was a really fun transition.
Mm-hmm. I also love the montage scene of the Grinch getting his Santa outfit together.
Oh yeah, that's a fun one.
And he's like sewing his curtains to make the jacket and...
The fluff.
Yeah, Max takes fluff out of his bed to put it on the hem of the Grinch's Santa hat. It's a cute scene.
I would love a Cribs Grinch edition, because his house actually looked kind of nice. It was like a little patchwork, but like his bed was pretty nice. Big headboard.
Welcome to my crib.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
Oh, that's another dislike. I didn't like when the Grinch was whipping Max to run faster.
Oh, yeah, that made me sad.
Because Max is such a good sport. He's a good boy. He doesn't deserve to be whipped.
And he literally carried that sled 10,000 feet up a mountain.
And it's an iconic image of a heaping sled, you know?
Yeah. I mean, pretty impressive. He's a strong little dude.
I don't know how I haven't watched this one every year.
Oh, I want to add this to the rotation. It was so much fun. I wrote down, I was smiling so much. It, like, from ear to ear, I had the biggest grin on. It was so much fun. It's really, really fun. It's just, like, a great watch.
Oh, that's the other thing. I liked how vindictive the Grinch was.
Yeah.
He took everything from their homes.
Yeah.
Dude, it wasn't just like, I'm going to ruin Christmas and take all the presents. He took every single decoration.
Yeah.
He took the tree, and then he took every single itty-bitty crumb of food. The mouse couldn't even eat the crumbs.
Yeah. Whatever somebody might have the ability to enjoy on Christmas was fair game.
Literally. And I just thought he was very thorough, and he really went all out. I like when someone, when they commit, they full commit.
He full commit.
Took everything.
Hard commit. The scene where he's stealing stuff is so good, where he's slithering on the ground, and then when he plays pool with the ornament to knock all the other ornaments off the tree, and then they go through, like, the baseboard, out the gutter, into the bag. Love that one. That's like my favorite in the pocket. One. Yeah.
Yeah. Just very imaginative.
Super imaginative.
Like I said, just whimsical, like Dr. Seuss. So there's really not a lot to dislike.
No, there really isn't. And I love, like we were saying, like, all the made-up instruments. They show all of them. They have, like, a good amount of screen time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the, I don't know, it was just everything. The games they were playing, that one game looked really fun. They, like, threw the ball through the horn and it, like, hit the chimes and stuff. It was just really fun. It made you, like, I think that's the magic of Dr. Seuss. He can paint a world that you really want to get in,
mm-hmm.
and it feels, like, warm and inviting and, like, comfortable and friendly and familiar, and that's the Whoville.
Yeah.
Like, I could easily live in Whoville and be like, this is great.
I don't know if I would want to live in Whoville. I will say, though, watching this is the original animated version.
Yeah.
Watching this made me realize how trash the live action is.
Yeah.
I want to erase the live action from my memory.
Oh, that was interesting. When I was turning it on, it said that this had a 49% on Rotten Tomato. And I was like, how in the world? That's impossible. But I looked it up later, like right after we watched it. This version has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm pretty sure it's the live action one that has the 49%. That makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm also wondering about, like, why are people hyped for Cindy Lou Who? You know?
Because she's cute.
But she just came out and asked him why he was taking the stuff. But she wasn't the one who came out and, like, sang first. You know what I mean?
I kind of like that he didn't, like, turn into a good guy because of Cindy Lou Who.
Mm-hmm.
But instead it was his own, like, wait, I tried to ruin something. It didn't get ruined. And, like, he learns a nice lesson instead of being like, oh, this cute little blonde girl taught me a nice lesson.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just didn't remember it that way.
So I didn't either.
So that was a shock to me, but a good shock.
Yeah.
I don't get the Cindy Lou Who hype, personally. She's I don't really cute. Get the Who hype. Like, it's a good message, and I like the Whos, but I would say, like, I see why the Grinch was annoyed by their cheer.
I mean, you sing so much on this podcast, you know, I figure you're just basically a Who yourself.
Yeah, and I hate myself. So, tracks. All tracks, okay?
All right, so we got 37 seconds left. Any closing thoughts?
Nope.
All right, I'll end it.
Any closing thoughts?
I really like his heart growing 3 times. I think that's fun. I love how it was animated.
Oh, the little sound effects that they had, like the strings breaking.
Yep.
Nice touch.
And then also how he got the strength of 10 Grinches plus 2. It was just really funny. It's cute. And I mean, as an adult, there was a ton for me to enjoy. I would totally watch this again. So everybody watch this one this holiday season. You won't regret it.
Agreed. Well, it makes me feel like I have to get up. Stop.
That was the Grinch.
Down to the wire, wine or milk?
Wine. Definitely wine. How about you?
Strong wine. Like the bottle that's from like 1966.
A nice port reserve.
Ugh. Too sweet. Too sweet. Too sweet for the Grinch. I'm just saying it's like, it's a bottle that you got in 1966 and you still haven't opened because it's still aging well.
Yep.
You know?
A nice vintage.
Mm-hmm.
1966. Good year.
Exactly.
So that was The Grinch. We will be right back with a Charlie Brown Christmas. We'll be right back. just watched Charlie Brown Christmas.
Fresh off the press, pretty much.
Fresh off the press.
Fresh off my eyeballs.
So
into my brain. And my ears.
And your ears. And your heart.
And my heart, yes.
Yeah, and yes. Your heart. I'm going to start a timer, and let's go.
Okay.
Count us down. It's on go.
Okay,
it's
I remember from last time. Ready?
Yeah.
On your mark?
No.
Oh, no, shit. One?
No, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, okay. 3? I guess I don't remember.
No, before. You don't.
2, 1, go.
Okay. Charlie Brown Christmas TV special came out in 1965. It's about 25 minutes long. It opens to Christmas. Well,
who's it by?
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. I can do that. It is written by Charles Schultz and directed by Bill Melendez. Melendez. And it originally debuted on CBS and had a budget of $96,000, which I just think is absolutely insane.
All right. I just got to give my boy Charles Schultz a little shout out for his
masterpiece. I appreciate it. Quick synopsis.
Quick summary. I want to get to it.
It starts with the Christmas Time Is Here song. All the kiddies are skating, and Charlie Brown and Linus are going to meet them. And he says, I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel about Christmas. They go skating. We're introduced to Snoopy skating, which is just adorable. Charlie Brown checks his mail, and he says, I know that nobody likes me, but why do we have to have a holiday to emphasize it? Because he didn't get a card. So he goes to get psychiatric help from his friend Lucy, which costs 5 cents, and she ends up offering Charlie Brown to be the director of the Christmas play. As he's going to the auditorium, he runs into his little sister Sally, who has him write a note to Santa, but he gets frustrated. It's all commercial. He gets to the auditorium. Everybody's dancing. That iconic, probably the most memorable scene in the whole thing, right? He's trying to get everybody to rehearse. They don't really like it. So he's like, all right, we need a Christmas tree. Him and Linus go to get it. They ask for an aluminum Christmas tree. Was that a thing in the 60s?
I was not alive. Don't know. Couldn't tell you.
They end up picking, or Charlie Brown ends up picking a real tree. It's really small. It's fragile. We all know it. And they go back to the auditorium. Everybody yells at Charlie Brown for the tree, make fun of him. And Charlie's like, does anybody know what Christmas is? Linus gives us an incredibly religious breakdown of what Christmas is. He decorates the tree, and it falls over, but then all the kids come and naturally decorate it, and they sing together, and it's all happy ending.
Wow, that was a lot more detail than I was expecting.
Yeah.
But I think you covered most of it.
I wanted to go deep into it, because it had a lot of, like, flash scenes.
A lot of flash scenes about, like, the Christmas, like, winter time almost, and things you do around Christmas.
Yeah.
Jumping into it, if
you
don't mind.
Go for it. Do it.
I think this was probably the most nostalgic Christmas movie we watched for me so
far. For you.
Mm-hmm. It's just, this is now officially Christmas time, because I've seen this special.
Yeah.
And what I like most about it is all the flash scenes that just encapsulate Christmas time and winter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, opening with ice skating. I just forgot about ice skating. I haven't been in so long, and it just made me really want to go ice skating.
Yeah.
Showing them throwing snowballs at cans, trying to knock it down.
That was fun.
Writing letters to Santa, getting mm-hmm. Christmas cards in the mail, eating snowflakes.
You
know what I mean? Like, all those things.
That was a hilarious line. Lucy saying she only eats snowflakes in January, like they're too early in the season in December.
That was hilarious. And I think Linus said, like, they're ripe enough for me or something like that. That was
super funny.
But all those things, like, those are things I did as a kid when it was wintertime.
Yeah.
You know, chucking snowballs, just messing around outside with
and,
your
like,
friends.
Walking around the town and it's all snowy and stuff. And, mm-hmm. like, the spotlights are on. And, like, the way they animated the snow falling, it really feels wintry.
I love the art, especially the starry night sky.
Yeah.
At the ending scene, the art was just so wonderful.
Yeah. They really do make it feel like winter, which mm-hmm. was really fun. Like, I almost wanted to bundle up under a blanket, even though I wasn't cold.
Oh, I was cold. I was under a blanket actively while watching this.
Under a Snoopy blanket.
But yeah, no, it's just a very nostalgic cartoon for me.
Yeah.
And every year I watch this, I always get surprised that it is pretty religious.
That is one thing that I was, like, kind of mixed on. I didn't remember it being this religious. I know that I remembered Linus coming in and having his story about the meaning of Christmas, but I didn't remember that being, like, most of
it. It's not, though. It's the last 5 minutes.
No, the message. Because, like, they set up the message because Charlie Brown's feeling frustrated that Christmas is so commercial and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, the only thing that they say the spirit of Christmas is like, the Christian religion.
I mean, it is a Christian holiday.
No, I know. I just didn't remember that as
yeah,
much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It surprised me. Versus the Grinch, where it's like, maybe it's just being with family and singing and stuff. This one was like, it's Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. No, fair observation.
Yeah.
I liked all the lead up to that message, though. I thought it was very well led up to, like, Snoopy decorating his house to win a contest.
Yeah.
And then Sally's, like, Christmas list.
Just 20s and 10s.
Like, asking for cash straight up. Or even Lucy just being obsessed with being the Christmas queen.
Yep.
You know, that lead up to the commercial piece I thought was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
And it culminated into, like, oh, yeah, you know, like, Jesus was born, you know?
Yeah.
FYI.
By the way.
The savior, according to Linus, was born. Yeah.
And so that was one thing. So, obviously, the music is sensational.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a given, right? Sally's adorable. What I really love is they use real child actors for all the kids. And in some ways, I think that hamstrung them a little bit because they couldn't, like, just get really talented voice actors in a room and have them pull it out. Like, they had to get little kids to cooperate and stuff, so they couldn't have, like, overly back and forth dialogue. But I like it because it's actually little kids. Like, you could tell it was, like, a five-year-old trying to figure out their lines.
Little Sally.
She
was trying so hard.
Yeah. So I actually really like that part of it. Something I was a little mixed on was how much it was disjointed and how much it cut. Kind of felt, like, sitcom-y to me.
I kind of liked that, though.
Where, like, just, like, jumped from, like, little, like, quick throwaway scene and then back to the action. It caught me off guard. I didn't remember it being like that. And one thing that kind of really soured for me, nobody says sorry to being such a jerk to Charlie Brown.
Oh, yeah. I forgot how mean they are to Charlie Brown. They were real mean to Charlie Brown.
I knew that they were mean to him, but, like, I thought that maybe the message wouldn't be, like, I don't know, like,
praise Jesus. It was more like, oh, sorry, Charlie.
Yeah. Like, like, they're, like, really mean to him. And they're, like, basically, he's, like, he actually says, I'm depressed. And they're all, like, well, you suck. And then he's like, I'm going to go away now. And then they, like, they don't even, like, show remorse or that they're sad. They just, like, make him a new tree, somehow put a lot more needles on it. And then they're like, let's sing. I was like, wait, why didn't anyone say sorry?
Maybe their actions speak louder than words type people. I don't know what to tell you.
Maybe.
I actually like the opening scene with Charlie and Linus talking and Charlie being like, I'm feeling depressed. Like, I'm not as happy as I should be right now. I liked it. He was being very open and vulnerable. I think Charlie Brown was ahead of his time.
Yeah,
it's good. And sharing about his mental health. I think his friends really fell short, though, in supporting him. Because Linus was like, how can you take something as happy as Christmas and make it sad? And then Lucy's psychiatric help, I gotta say.
I mean, it was hilarious. I love how she just, like, you can tell that she, like, watched a TV show or something where they just said a lot of big words. And then that's just what she does. Like, I actually really love her, quote unquote, psychiatric help because it's hilarious. It's exactly what, like, what are they supposed to be, like, 6 or 7 or something? I don't even know.
I don't know. All the girls were wearing dresses outside in the snow with no stockings.
Yeah.
It made me cold.
Yeah.
So. That has nothing to do with how old they are. It's just something I noticed.
Yeah.
Biggest complaint, though, of the whole cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. Not enough Woodstock. Zero Woodstock.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Where was Woodstock?
No Woodstock.
Too cold for him. He went south for the year.
Oh, maybe he migrated.
Yeah. Is a Woodstock a migratory bird?
I guess so.
I don't even know.
Or he went to see family for the holidays. I don't know. But no, I love Snoopy. Snoopy was the highlight of the whole thing for me.
The lack of Woodstock was definitely sad, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But Snoopy doing all the animals during their rehearsal scene was super cute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I forgot how cute Snoopy is.
He's adorable.
Yeah.
He's a showstopper.
It makes me want to watch the Red Baron.
I like the one, I forget what it's called, but it's the one where Snoopy has to go visit his cousin who's sick at the hospital. He takes a little journey.
I don't even know if I've seen that.
It's cute. That's like the one I remember the most. I had on VHS tape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Outside of Charlie Brown Christmas. But,
yeah.
Or the Great Pumpkin.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, thinking through it as a Christmas, like, Christmas media, I think it was kind of weak on the Christmas.
Really? That's what you got out of that?
Yeah, it wasn't like as strongly Christmas for me.
It was literally the story of Jesus being born.
Well, that's not what Christmas means to me. So that's why I felt like a little weak on Christmas.
That's like the origin of Christmas.
Okay, but like that's not what Christmas means to me.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's totally fair. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if you can say it's light on Christmas. The whole movie's about Christmas.
It was, it, like, finish. Kind of is, right? Like, they're referencing Christmas. But, like, for me, like, it didn't put me, like, hard into the Christmas spirit. Like, the Grinch, I was like, hell yeah, Christmas, let's do this. But, like, this one was more like them bullying a little kid about his Christmas tree. And then Jesus. I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, it didn't, like, check that Christmas box as hard for me. It definitely checked the winter and, like, snow box really, really hard. And, like, in school break, like winter break, check that box really, really hard. But I didn't get like strong Christmas vibes.
I don't know what to say. I mean, they were writing letters to Santa. He was checking his mailbox for Christmas cards. They were doing a Christmas play, mm-hmm. decorating Christmas tree. That's like the whole thing.
But they never did the Christmas play. They never actually like practiced it. And then the other, like the Christmas cards and the letter to Santa were just, like, those throwaway sitcom-y scenes. So, like, it didn't, like, feel like a full package of Christmas is hard for me. I don't know. I feel like I shocked you.
Yeah, you really did, honestly. I'm shocked speechless. I really don't know what to say. For me, it felt, like, very Christmassy. And yeah. I understand, like, your version of Christmas is obviously different, but... Mm-hmm. It's just that whole winter break leading up to Christmas. You're a kid. You're not into the whole religious message of Christmas, most likely. At least I wasn't, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of something that you just did and acknowledged and then got to see your family on Christmas Day. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I thought it encapsulated it really well of being a kid around Christmas time. And I'm not overly religious myself, but it kind of did bring it back to like, that theme we've been seeing for a lot of Christmas movies about like commercialism and mm-hmm. how it's more about like family and friends and being loved with others. And like for some people also, it is like the root of the religious holiday, you know? So I don't know. I'm speechless because I'm really concerned you're going to take my favorite Christmas special and turn it into a milk. And like, I don't know if I can get past that. I might have to ask for a divorce lawyer for Santa Christmas, for Christmas this year. I'm going to need a little financial boost.
I think maybe I'm being a little harsh on it because we watched The Grinch first, but like I liked how they were presenting the like Christmas has been commercialized and stuff, but I just don't think they took it hard enough. They didn't like say anything substantial about it. They were just like...
It's show, don't tell, okay? They all sang Christmas songs together at the end. They came together.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do we need to have it be on the nose, like the Pokemon movie?
Well, they had the little Christmas tree, right? Which mm-hmm. I liked. It's good in its own regard. It's unique and doesn't need to be this big, frilly, you know, decorated thing. But then the moral of the story was all your friends can come together, steal these decorations off of Snoopy's house and make
nice. Whoa. Wow. You are just completely manipulating what happened.
I'm not manipulating it.
They didn't steal decorations off Snoopy's house. First of all, Snoopy stole them from Charlie Brown for his competition. Second of all, yeah, your friends come together and you decorate the tree together.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I think they could have been stronger on the anti-commercialism of Christmas.
I think they could have just been stronger on the anti-bullying.
I would have really liked just like one sorry or like are bad or like, hey, you're okay, Charlie Brown.
Well, they did say like, oh, Charlie Brown did pick a pretty nice tree. Like that was said.
I think they said that when he wasn't there.
Yeah, I'm just, I just did not expect this conversation to go this way.
I'm sorry.
I expected you to not enjoy it as much as The Grinch, but I didn't expect you to. Didn't expect you to shit all over my favorite Christmas
special. I'm
feeling very, I'm feeling personally attacked right now.
I'm sorry.
Like going into like a shock response.
No, I'm mostly just like, I think on the plot level, I was expecting a tiny bit more.
Fair enough.
That's really what it comes down to. Like, I was taken a little bit aback by the sitcominess of it and the lack of like a conjoined, full, wrapped in a bow plot.
I feel like it was for 25 minutes of just like we're going to do this Christmas play to help get me in the Christmas spirit, and mm-hmm. then going through a journey to get there.
Yeah.
That felt like a plot to me. It's 25 minutes. I have to show a lot.
I do want to be fair, like I said, though. I think that part of the reason it felt a little disjointed is they were using real child actors, so they couldn't have easy plot going all the time, or like in The Grinch where they had an adult narrator over it or something. They were relying on their kids, and the kids did a good job. They were really good. And it was adorable.
It was adorable.
It was really, really sweet. Sally's so sweet. I love
Sally her. And Snoopy, what more do you need?
Snoopy's a really good actor. I wonder what dog they got to do him.
I don't know. Probably the same, what was it? What was the cat that was talking? Mr. Binks.
Right in the same nick of time.
The same agent.
All right. That was our 15 minutes. What's your vote?
It's a wine for me because of the nostalgia factor. It's my absolute favorite Christmas special on TV. Just for Snoopy alone.
Yeah. I think it's a wine, but not as strong as I thought it was going to be.
I hope you're being genuine and not just protecting our marriage.
No, like, I don't think I can say it's a
I don't
milk.
Want you to lie to me.
I think, I do just want to say, I think potentially the thing that is making it less of a solid wine for me is I don't think it's as accessible because it is very heavily Christian Christmas instead of general Christmas winter holiday season.
That is fair enough. That is definitely fair enough.
Like, I think The Grinch you can enjoy as potentially someone who doesn't, like, didn't grow up on the Christian version of Christmas. I don't know that this one is as enjoyable or as accessible because that ends up being a big part of it. When they literally say the meaning of Christmas is Jesus being born.
Yeah, to be fair, it's the last, like, 5 minutes. But I also understand it could be like that, I love to talk about influencer marketing. You're sucked in with cute Snoopy and the peanuts. And then all of a sudden, bam, at the end, they hit you with Jesus.
It's like VeggieTales.
It's like missionary work. We're going to build you a hospital, but also you should praise Jesus.
Yeah.
At the end, you know, when you're slapped with the bill.
So like that soured it a little bit for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was expecting more of the anti-consumer message going into it, because that's how it is introduced with Charlie Brown being sad about that. And then he's like, oh, I can be happy because Jesus. So I just think it makes it a little bit less accessible than I thought it would be.
Fair enough.
But I do think it's a wine. It's really sweet. It's well animated. The music is sensational. It's cute. The kid actors are really, really good for using actual little kids instead of to, like you said, with the Pokemon movie, those were all adults, right? These were little kids. They were super sweet. They did a good job.
I need to have a glass of alcohol before we watch our next one.
Well, the snowman's my pick, so now you can get your revenge.
Yeah, but I don't want it to be a revenge thing. I want it to be an honest take. Take, yes. So I think I need a palate cleanser before the next one.
I was mostly kidding about the revenge anyway. But that was Charlie Brown Christmas, wine, wine. We are going to let you go and we will be right back for the snowman. So we just watched The Snowman, and I'm ready to talk about it. I'm ready.
I think I finally got this down. The 3-2-1 thing?
Oh, hey, you remembered. You remembered which direction.
Hey, there's plenty of ways to count down, okay? Okay, you ready?
No, I hit play. You count down.
Oh, okay. Fine. I didn't realize
we have a system.
We had assigned chores.
We do.
Okay, in preschool, they get to switch jobs. So one day you might get to be the door holder, and the next day you're the line leader.
I like the button presser job. That's my job.
Okay, then. Not flexible. Check. 3, 2, 1, go.
Did it. All right. The snowman.
I forgot I'm supposed to do a quick summary.
Yeah, do
it. Oh, crap. I wasn't ready for that. So there's this young kid and he wakes up in the morning and there's a ton of snow. Mm-hmm. He's really excited, goes out to play, builds a phenomenal snowman.
Like phenomenal.
Very snowman. High quality, especially by himself. He's short. The snowman is huge.
Yeah.
So he spends all day outside building the snowman, gets really excited, goes inside for bed, can't sleep, too excited, keeps looking at him outside the window. Midnight strikes and the snowman gets zapped to life.
Yeah.
He invites the snowman inside. He shows him around the house. A lot of cute scenes of them playing dress up and showing him the Christmas lights and playing in his room with his toys.
Yep.
They go back outside. There's a little motorcycle ride they go on, which is really fun. And then the snowman is like, hey, I saw your place. Why don't we, I'll show you my world. So he like picks them up and they fly around. They explore over the ocean. They fly up to the North Pole. They meet Santa and all the other snowmen. Dance around a little bit. And then the sun comes up. They fly back home. The kid goes inside. He goes to bed. And then sadly, when he wakes up in the morning, the snowman has melted.
Like wicked tragic.
Yeah.
Really broke my heart.
Yeah. I don't think he slept that long, so it really happened very quickly for him.
Like 2 hours.
At the end. It should be noted that this movie only has very brief introduction narration, like 3 or 4 sentences in the beginning of the movie, and the rest is silent with music.
Yeah. The intro is by the original author, like saying how he got the inspiration, and then it just goes right in.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a kid, like, reflecting back on my childhood.
No, I think that was the author talking about a time he got snowed in, and that's how he got the inspiration for the snowman.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, and that being said, I'll do a quick shout out. It came out in 1982. It was directed by Diane Jackson, and music was by Howard Blake. And it was written by... I probably should have looked that up.
I forgot to take it down. Oops.
Oh, geez. Well, after our 15 minutes are up, we'll shout out the author.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You can just call me Liz Lemon because I want to go to there. That was so cool. I want to live where he lived. They like live in the middle of the countryside. They have no neighbors and there is like 85 inches of snow in one day.
It sounds like my hell. It sounds like my hell. It's so funny.
It looked so good. Oh my God. I was like, this is amazing. They got their little hedged in yard. They got a ton of snow. There was like woods and all the nature. There was pheasants and a horse and a fox and an owl.
I like to be able to, if we run out of something, go by the neighbors and ask for, like, can I borrow a cup of sugar?
We have literally never done that in our entire lives.
No, but we, like, we bake bread for our neighbors and they give us fun candy and stuff in return. And it's nice, especially in quarantine. It's nice to see people and have interactions with your community.
Yeah. I feel like when you're out in the country like that, though, you have even more of a community.
I don't think you can win this argument.
But what did you like about this one?
The artwork was amazing.
Oh my God, it was so good.
I really liked, because this is based on a book, it really felt like they took a book and made it animated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they had still shots from the book, I'm assuming. And then they would like kind of like zoom in on some of the stills. And then all of a sudden something would move in the background and it would be back to animated.
It was really good.
Loved it.
And it was all colored pencil, too, so you could literally see each individual stroke of the pencil on the screen. It was really cool.
So well done. Really beautiful. And the way that I did the color of the, I can't pronounce this, the Aurelis Borealis. What is it?
Aurora?
The Aurora. I knew I was going to mess that one up. The Aurora Borealis. Like, yeah. It was kind of still glimmery and shiny still.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out how they did that effect, because it seemed like an after effect on top of the image. It was really cool.
Yeah. I would say my favorite part was the snowman coming into the house and learning about human stuff, like sitting by the fire and realizing he's melting.
Yeah.
And getting enraptured with the Christmas lights and then playing dress up with his dad's clothes and he putting the snowman in a tie. Like, those were my favorite parts.
The little kid was so excited to show him all of his stuff. It was really cute. And, like, they were both, like, exploring and learning new stuff a little bit. It was really funny.
Yeah.
Really sweet.
I would say the beginning was awesome. I think the pacing took a turn when the snowman started flying him around and brought him to the North Pole.
Apparently, that got extended. I was looking it up a little bit on Wikipedia. When they ordered, like, the TV show, he delivered an original version, and then they extended it a little bit.
Gotcha.
And added that on for TV, I guess, to make that scene a little longer.
It felt long to me.
It was a little long.
And,
But it was beautiful. The drawing and all the places they went were gorgeous.
For sure.
But, if you're talking about it as, like a movie or, like, a short, like, that part did drag a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, too, you kind of crapped all over A Charlie Brown Christmas because you said it wasn't a Christmas movie. And I would say that this movie wasn't really, like, the whole first 20 minutes was not a Christmas movie at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was a winter movie. And then very randomly, I felt they threw Santa in at the end.
That apparently wasn't in the book.
You could tell. I feel like you could tell. It was kind of thrown in at the end, like, oh, it's Christmas time. Let's bring him to the North Pole. Oh, look, Santa's wearing an apron. He's going to give him a scarf as a gift, you know?
That was his gift. He unwrapped it early. He gave him his gift early because it was addressed to him.
Yeah, I wasn't crapping on the gift. I'm just saying, like, the randomness of him, like, going to the North Pole at the end and petting the reindeer felt kind of out of left field for me.
It was tossed in for sure. I didn't remember that he met Santa at all, but I kind of liked that scene with all the snowman dancing and stuff. And there were, like, snowmen all from all of the world, it seemed like, because there was, like, a Scottish one. He had, like, a kilt on, and there's, like, a cowboy one and stuff.
When did Santa replace elves with snowmen? Because that's the vibe I was getting. Like, no, hard.
I didn't think they were working for him. I thought they were just, like, partying with Santa.
So the elves get to work all year long, and they don't get a holiday party, but the random-ass snowmen from all over the world?
Yep.
They get a holiday party? It didn't feel like a Christmas movie till the very end, and it felt kind of like a, oh shit, this, maybe we should throw Santa in there.
You know? It's more of a wintertime story.
Yes.
For sure.
More so than I would say Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yep. I mean, Charlie Brown Christmas literally has Christmas in the title, so that's not
surprising. Yeah, but you gave that movie so much shit the other day for not being a Christmas movie.
It was more the message, but I want to focus on the snowman.
Okay. This is my revenge.
I really loved the scene when we were in the kitchen and they were like, the snowman was trying on all the different noses.
And he put like a pineapple nose on and a pear nose. What was the fruit that was his OG nose?
I don't know.
It was like a mango looking thing.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure. That's a really good question. A persimmon?
I can see it being a persimmon, yeah.
Persimmon. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. I don't really know what a persimmon is.
It looked like a little tiny orange mango.
Yeah.
Not the big ones that you get at the store, but like the ones in St. Lucia on the trees. That's what it looked like to me.
It was cute, though. I liked him. He's like trying them all on, and like the pineapple, like you said, and like the banana and stuff, the little cherry.
I think a persimmon is more of a wintry fruit than a mango.
Yeah, it feels like one. Like you said, the animation is great. Or the drawing especially was great, but I like how it was the low FPS. Like, it didn't have, like, it wasn't fluid. You could see each individual frame, but I kind of liked it because you could really tell that it was, like, hand-drawn and a lot of care went into it.
Oh, yeah, this must have taken forever to make.
Oh, my God, seriously. Forever. And it was really pretty, and the music was so good. We both, the second that the intro started and the music started playing, we both looked at each other and we're like, oh, I know this.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen the animation. I think I've read the book, and then, like I said, my grandma had the little music box that you turn, and it played that music, that music.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I've seen the actual animation.
Yeah.
But I know the story.
Yeah. And it was just really pretty. I mean, compared to the other two movies, like, this one was very obviously, like, very artistic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it was an artistic piece of media, but I really liked that. It was really sweet and cute and charming, and, like, you could tell a whole lot of care and love went into it, which was pretty fun. But, like, to be fair, like you were saying, it doesn't really have, like, a message, or it wasn't, like, super Christmassy or anything like that. Santa was just kind of in there, but, like, it was sweet. It was cute. It was definitely, like, winter, but it wasn't really Christmas.
It was a slice of life. It was like slice of life as a kid who has a snow day and you get really excited to go outside in the snow. That was the other thing, too. He just put on jeans and a sweater, no gloves, no hat, and like rain boots. That wasn't even snow boots.
Well, I love how his mom put the hat on him and then he runs out and it falls right off. That was really cute.
Yeah, but I was just concerned his little fingers were going to get frostbitten.
He made
a whole snowman with bare hands.
Not everybody is as bad at the cold as you.
I don't care who you are. If you're a child, one, you're bad at controlling and your body heat, regulating your body temperature. Your little thingies, they're not going to have any blood flow. You're definitely going to get, I don't care who you are. Your hands are in the snow for hours. You're going to get frostbite.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. He was touching the snow for a pretty long time.
It didn't ruin the movie for me. I was just very concerned for his health.
Yeah. The other cool thing was the music really accompanied the action really well. Mm-hmm. Like, it seemed like the whole thing was drawn and then they sat down and crafted like an orchestral piece to go with it. Because like, it matched the action really, really well. Like, there was a part where a whale was, like, slapping its tail, and it perfectly lined up with, like, a cymbal crash and stuff. It was just
well, the music
very
was,
tight-knit.
the music was a narrator. You had to have that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? This movie also made me think about Stranger Danger.
Why?
Because the snowman just invited him into the house and brought him into his room. And then he went off with him into the sky. They flew. Also, didn't know snowmen could fly.
I was trying to figure it out. Could he fly because it was snowing? The music specifically had a line that said, "We're swimming in the frozen sky," which I thought was a really beautiful line. But was it because, like, it was snowing, that's why the snowman could fly?
I think he was just having an intense fever dream the whole time, and he didn't actually play with the snowman.
That also is very
possible. Because he was playing out in the snow without proper winter gear. That's why he got sick.
He had the scarf, though. He had it the next day.
Yeah, that's just the same thing with the Polar Express. It's called the Polar Express cop-out, where you think he dreamed it, but then he finds the bill. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know it wasn't a dream.
Is that the official name, the Polar Express cop-out?
I think so. Except for this might have come out first. The snowman cop-out, and then Polar Express stole it.
Well, the book is from, like, 1970-something. It took a good amount of time before it was made into a TV short.
Yeah, I looked it up because I felt bad. The author is Raymond Briggs, and it came out in 1978.
Yeah.
And this became an animated adaptation in 1982.
Yeah.
So.
And it was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Animated Short Film and won a BAFTA TV Award. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I think it's deserving. Don't get me wrong. I thought it was I enjoyed it. I had a good time watching it. I feel like you're not being equally critical of Charlie Brown Christmas and The Snowman. I think your nostalgia is clouding you because it really was a winter film, not like a Christmas film. And it just threw Christmas in at the end. And yeah. I think that you were a little harsh on Charlie Brown Christmas comparatively.
No, that's super fair. Like, because we are doing like Christmas nostalgia. But for me, it worked because it was very winter nostalgic, which I love. But it definitely was not Christmas. But I do have to say, I think there's a difference between trying to have a message and doing it poorly and not even trying to have a message. I think this one was better because it didn't even try to put a message in.
Yeah, I guess.
You know?
I
don't want to compare these two right now. I just like thinking about this film, like this short as just like a very artistic thing. It was really good. But we've been talking about this with the other ones, like, would I recommend it to people? Would you, like, how often should you watch it type thing? Like, I don't know that you need to watch this one every year.
No.
You know? I don't think it's that type of winter / Christmas whatever movie, like holiday movie. I think it's more just like a really cute, well-done artistic piece that you could, like, watch every few years and really get something out of.
Every 5 years. I would say it's definitely geared towards younger kids.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, like, you could watch The Grinch as an adult and still get a lot out of it, I think. I think The Snowman is definitely geared towards a younger audience.
Yeah. Like, I would watch The Grinch every year. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember having a ton of nostalgia with this. I had the little snowman doll and stuffed
animal
and stuff.
The snowman's really cute.
He's adorable. Like, as a kid, I loved it. And this nostalgia was really high. I think because it doesn't have words, it really taps into the nostalgia. Because the music just slaps you in the face.
That's what I was thinking earlier. I think that the snowman relationship would be a little creepier if there was dialogue. He was able to be like kind of like cutesy and bumbling and like have a good energy. I don't know. I feel like you were able to use your imagination as to what they were talking about and what he was feeling. And I think it let you put your own spin on it in a way. You know what I mean?
You could put your own experience onto this movie, which is another thing I like, is I think it makes it very, very accessible for all ages, but as well as people from all over. It doesn't need to have dubs, you know? It doesn't need to be transferred into a different language. You get to put your own story on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is 15 minutes.
Wow, that went fast.
It really did.
That went really fast. Whoa. I didn't actually think I was going to, like, have as much to talk about for this film, but that was a good discussion. That was fun.
Yeah. If you can't tell, I'm still a little salty about Charlie Brown Christmas.
I gave it a whine.
I know. I feel, like, personally injured a little bit, but it's okay. I still love you.
I love you,
and you're
too.
Allowed to have your own opinions, obviously. That being said, though, this is a whine for me as well.
Yep. This is a whine for me as well.
It was just really beautifully animated.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the little kid was really relatable, getting excited to go outside in the snow.
And like waking up the next morning and sprinting outside.
Well, do you remember when you were a kid and you knew it was going to snow and you wanted it to be a snow day? So the first thing you do in the morning is look out the window.
Yep.
The kid perfectly captured that feeling.
I remember that so hard. And then watching TV for the news station to see your school slowly scroll by and see if there was an update and stuff. Yeah.
Or putting, we used to put, the rumor was you put a spoon under your pillow at night and that helps it snow.
I never heard that.
Or wear your pajamas inside out and backwards.
I'm going to start doing that every night down here and see if I can will it into existence.
I don't think that'll happen in Texas. I think you might be shit out of luck.
But yeah, I think this was a wine. It was really cute. Like I was saying with the recommendation bit, I think you should check it out because it's beautiful. It's very artistic. I think it's enjoyable. It's not really Christmassy. It doesn't have a message, which isn't a bad thing. I'm just saying it because the other two did. And I would highly recommend it. I really would.
Even if you just watch the first 20 minutes and then you can fast forward the North Pole stuff, like it's still a really good watch.
It's so cute. And personally for me, there's something really nice about watching something and being able to tell a ton of love and care and effort went into it. Mm-hmm. And you get that with this one.
For sure. Well, that was 15 minutes for each of them.
Yeah. So to recap, we watched The Grinch.
Yes.
That was a wine. We watched Charlie Brown Christmas. That was a wine.
Weaker wine for you.
A little bit of conflict in that. And then Snowman, that was also a wine. Mm-hmm. But maybe like, let's give out like the superlatives.
Okay.
You know, what are your superlatives for these three movies?
For The Grinch?
Yeah. Like, you know, like best dressed, best smile.
For sure.
You know, class clown. What are your three superlatives
for these? I would say that for The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Yep.
Hands down, most likely to succeed. Just long-term success, definitely The Grinch. That's what I would have to give it. I also think, though, that The Grinch could also get a class clown in there, too, because it's pretty funny.
It's wicked funny,
you can honestly get a class clown, you can get a most likely to succeed out of The Grinch. I can see it.
And best smile for that wicked, it's big, probably Grinchy the one, smile
like,
he gave.
That person sweeps and they win, like, all the superlatives. Like, that one really, like, popular person that everyone gets along with. Charlie Brown Christmas? That's a tough one.
They don't have to actually be, like, yearbook superlatives.
Oh, well, I'm thinking of it in the terms of yearbook superlative.
I actually really liked that, though.
Charlie Brown Christmas, I would say for me, most likely to give you warm fuzzies. And that's just my nostalgia probably shining through. But it gave me a lot of warm fuzzies to watch.
Like most nostalgic.
The Peanuts and like Snoopy and the gang all celebrate Christmas. And half of our, we don't have too many Christmas decorations, but almost all of them are Charlie Brown Christmas related. Yeah. Like, we have a little Snoopy that's sleeping on his decorated doghouse, and you press a button and it plays music. We have the Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
We have a little Woodstock in the window. We have a lot of stuff.
So that just gives me warm fuzzies.
Yeah.
And then the snowman? Probably most endearing.
Most endearing?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I would say The Grinch, everything that you said. And then I would also say just, like, best message. I don't know if that's, like, a legit thing. But, like, I was really impressed with that. I didn't remember that, but as an adult, I was like, dang, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And to like, we've talked a lot.
It's Dr. Seuss, though. Like, the source material is just so good. It's at another level.
It goes back to my theory on everything that is based off a book has been better.
Snowman's based off a book, too.
But I liked that message. I thought it was great. And we've watched a lot of kids' stuff that slaps you in the face is, like, really, really obtuse about the message it's giving. It wasn't like that. It was nice and light. And I really enjoyed it. Charlie Brown Christmas. Honestly, go ahead.
Most educational.
Most educational, yeah. Most religious. I would potentially give it best music, honestly.
Yeah.
I just really, really. The other two had fantastic music, but I think Charlie Brown Christmas just is a little edge up because it's really great.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I love the like jazziness to it, too.
Yeah, it's an easy one for you. With the jazz, anything with any semblance of off-key notes at the wrong time.
That's not jazz. That's not... Oh, man. And then Snowman, easily most artistic. Or, like, Love and Care Award or something like that. It was just, like, it was really, really cool to see the effort that went into it. Best animation, too.
I would, you know what? Snowman is most educational. Stranger danger, everyone.
Oh, my God.
Don't go off with strangers. Don't invite them into your house. It's going to be playing at Safety Town next year for all the elementary school kids.
So wouldn't it be literally least educational because he did all the things you're not supposed to do?
Yeah, I guess he didn't come to a bad end. Oh, your best friend melts. If you go out with strangers, you lose a best friend.
Oh my god. But yeah, they were good.
Made me want to watch Frosty.
Did it?
Yeah.
The Snowman did?
This made me want to watch Frosty and compare.
Maybe we'll have to do that next year, is compare Snowman to Frosty.
Ooh, that could be fun. Like, worst dressed, best dressed. Who wore it better? That's what I'm thinking about. Who wore Christmas better? The Snowman versus Frosty.
That'd be fun. Any closing thoughts? Do you want to duke it out a little bit more on Charlie Brown Christmas?
No. I think it'll be better for us to just agree to disagree and let sleeping dogs lie and go eat some Christmas cookies.
Ooh, that sounds nice. Yeah. I like that idea because we get to eat cookies.
Exactly. Cookies make everything better.
Well, thank you guys for listening. I really hope that you enjoyed this new format. It was really fun for us.
Speed dating. Yeah, I guess that's the question. Like, if this is a speed date, whose digits would you want to get?
Oh, man. Who would I want to go home with at the end of the night?
Yeah.
The Grinch.
Easily the Grinch.
Yeah.
Easily. We'll have to fight over that one. Or we could just be a throuple.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Invite the Grinch into our home.
Ew.
Anyway.
Max and Luna could get along, though.
Yeah, they could, actually. That'd be sweet. They could cuddle up.
Charlie
would hate
her life.
She'll
move out.
She'd be like, no.
Two dogs, she'll be out.
So,
Charlie is the Grinch.
Oh, that is something to mention. The snowman had a cat, and it was really cute. I love that little black cat.
Well, the kid had a cat. The snowman didn't have a cat.
Well, the snowman film had a cat in it, is what I was trying to say.
Shout out to all Christmas cats out there. You're underrepresented.
You Christmas cats. It sounds like we're like the Aristocats.
Hey, you cool cats and kids. Alrighty. Well, last Christmas movie of the week is going to be Christmas Vacation. So tune in. That comes out on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day. And let us know what you thought about this format, because I had a lot of fun with it. I would love to try it again going forward.
We should speed date a bunch of rom-coms
for like Valentine's
Day.
Yeah. So let us know what you think. If you like this one, please let us know. If you didn't, also please let us know. But you can reach out to us on Twitter. We are at Weiner Milk on Twitter. We are at Weiner Milk Podcast on Instagram. Our website is WeinerMilkPodcast.com. We are on Facebook at Facebook.com/WeinerMilk. And our email is WeinerMilkPodcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Any of those. Reach out. Let us know what you think.
Rate, review, subscribe if you like our content. And happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays. We will see you on Friday with our final Christmas movie, Christmas Vacation. Have a great day.
Shitter's full.